Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is singer-actress Dee Dee Bridgewater. She's a brilliant performer who is the host of NPR's Jazz Set, and she has a host of other talents as well, believe me. How are you, Dee Dee?
Well, I'm thrilled to be sitting here looking at your delicious face and those mischievous eyes.
We've been talking about doing this for so long.
I know.
But due to the fact that you travel more than anybody I know, like worldwide,
yeah.
and lived in Paris, right?
Yeah, I lived in Paris for close to 17 years. Still have my home there. And now I'm in, of all places, Henderson, Nevada, which is, of course, next door to Las Vegas, or as I love to call it, Lost Wages.
How does that stack up after Paris?
You know, it's surreal, and it's not to be compared with any place else. So I think once you get used to that and accept the idea that you are in this stranger than stranger of places, it's okay. There is a wonderful community now. There is a lot of culture now. There's a lot of theater. It's very exciting, actually, to be in a city that's growing. Constantly. I mean, they're constantly having to build roads and build schools and build hospitals and, you know, build the facilities to accommodate.
I hope they're going to leave a little countryside for horseback riding and things like that.
Oh, they've still got that.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, that's very good.
Meanwhile, you're going to sit here and sing your heart out.
Well, I don't know. I might sing my lungs out, my brains out, but I don't know. My heart might stay there. No. Listen, I'm so excited to be here with you because, I mean, you have the only show where we can do this.
I know. I'm thrilled about it myself. And, you can sit and talk to somebody
and then,
catch up, and then you can do a little singing and playing, and
yes,
it's all good fun.
And it's wonderful, and it's all impromptu, and I don't know if the listeners know that it's not rehearsed, but I think that's amazing, and that is the beauty of this music. And
well, we rehearsed.
We set our levels.
We
talked very vaguely about what we're going to do here. But
well, vague is good because it usually turns out to be what we wanted to do anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's have a go
at
a song.
All right.
I'm dying to, having just heard your new record. So
what do you want to
do?
Well, you know, I thought just to kind of get warmed up, I thought something from Duke Ellington would be nice.
Well, you can't go wrong with Duke.
No, never. And one of my favorite, I think this is my favorite Duke Ellington song, and it's called Beginning to See the Light.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
And it swings.
It swings.
So
let's go.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's.
Okay.
I never cared much for moonlit skies, never winked back at fireflies. Now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. I never went in for afterglow, candlelight on the mistletoe. But now when you turn the lamp down low, I see the light. Well, I used to ramble through the park, shadowboxing in the dark. Then you came and you caused a spark. That's a four alarm fire now. I never made love by lantern shine, never saw rainbows in my wine. Now that your lips are burning mine, baby, I see the light. Skay-oop-a-dee, a biddly do ya, bud-loo-ba-da-da, bud-loo-dee-loo-boom. Let love scatter, but I love by how you did little little. A bit little, but who you did little, but bit little, little. never went in for moonlit skies. I never winked back at fireflies. Now that the stars are in your eyes, baby, I see the light. Never went in for afterglow, a candlelight on the mistletoe. Now when you turn the lamp down low, honey, I see the light. Well, I used to ramble through the park, did shadowboxing in the dark. And then you came and caused a spark. That's a four alarm fire now. Never made love by lantern shine, never saw rainbows in my wine. Now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light. I'm beginning to see the light. Oh, but baby, I see the light.
Oh, well, Marian, really, can I say that was fun?
Was it fun?
Oh, I enjoyed it.
You just swinging away. I mean, I just feel like a extraneous sort of playing for you because you do it all by yourself. It's wonderful.
Well, that's very interesting, Marian. Thank you. But I feel like I get the inspiration from the musicians that I'm working with. And I think, you know, the way that you place, you know, the chords and everything, it swings and it lifts and it makes it bounce. And so it inspired me to go where I went. So I want to say thank you, darling.
Well, I loved it. Now, I read somewhere where you went to the Soviet Union with the University of Illinois band, mm-hmm. and that must have been maybe one of your first gigs, wasn't it?
And that was my first time going outside of the United States, and I was petrified.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, I had such, I would say, stereotypical ideas about what Russia was about, and it was still communist at the time, and I mean, it was just horror stories, you know. And also in 1968, that was the year of all of this student uprising, you know, across the United States and Europe, and you know, we were, you know, burning books, and you know, and that was also at the same time that we women decided to burn our bras. So it was all of this kind of liberation that was going on. And so when we got to Russia, what happened is they too had stereotypes of what was going to happen. So we were followed everywhere. I mean, they had individual KGB people that followed each and every one of us when we would go out of the hotels.
But you loved they loved you performing, didn't they?
The performing, the people went crazy. And I still today meet people who were, you know, young at that time, and they come and they go, oh my goodness, I saw you, you know, in Russia in 68, and then of course when I went back in 72 with Thad and Mel, and I was pregnant.
You're from Michigan.
Yeah, I grew up in Michigan, Flint.
And I'm wondering how you wound up in Chicago or the University of Illinois band from Champaign, Illinois.
Well, right. What happened was I was performing during my 1 year at Michigan State University with a man named Andy Goodrich, a saxophonist, and he had a quintet. And he decided to enter us in some collegiate competitions. And one of them was at Notre Dame. And John Garvey was one of the judges. And I was just like a tag along. They didn't even have vocal categories at these competitions that we were going to. And he liked my voice so much, he came up to me and asked me, would I like to come and sing with the University of Illinois Jazz Band? And of course, I said, yes, you know. And I had to join the school in order to go. So I took all of these, as we used to say, bogus classes. I mean, you know, the easiest things I could find. Just so that I could get credits and I could then do this State Department tour. And that's how I got to Russia with the University of Illinois. And that's how I met Cecil Bridgewater.
Yeah, because I was going to say you just must have married him when? Before Thad and Mel? Well, he was
just before Thad and Mel.
Because he was in the band, was he not?
Yeah, well, we went to New York, you know, so that he could perform with Thad and Mel. And also Horace Silver.
I'm trying to think where I met you. Was that it? When you were married to Cecil Bridgewater?
Yeah, that must have been it, Marion. That must have been it. I mean, it was that whole time that I was living in New York and working. Well, I started with Thad and Mel in 1970. You know, Marion, for me, that was my schooling. That was where I learned everything that I know about jazz, and I still apply what I've learned to today.
It's wonderful.
It is.
Meanwhile, you have to sing another song.
I really?
Yes, and then we'll talk some more.
Well, all right. Well, now let's, you know, in thinking about doing this show with you, and I don't know why, but this tune popped into my mind, and I thought, God, this would be good to do with Marion. Embraceable You. Is that okay?
It's a great tune.
It's a fabulous tune. But now that I've said it, I wonder if I know all the lyrics. We'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yes, we will.
Okay.
Okay.
Embrace me, my sweet, embraceable you. Embrace me, you irreplaceable you. Just one look at you, my heart goes tipsy in me. You and you alone bring out the gypsy in me. I love all the many charms about you. Above all, I want my arms about you. Don't be a naughty baby. Come to mama too. Sweet, embraceable you. Just one look at you, my heart grows tipsy in me. You and you alone bring out the gypsy. About you, above. Don't be a naughty baby. Come to mama, do.
Delicious.
It's funny, I don't hear that tune that often or play it that often, but it's so interesting to hear you sing it. And in that key, keys have a, I have a thing about them, and hearing it in B flat and the way you sang it so slowly and very sensuously, it's really a treat to hear it done that way.
You know, that's interesting. Keys are very important. Keys can change the whole personality of a song. And I have a wide range, but I have a tendency to do most of my ballads in B flat. And musicians tease me, and they call me, oh, B flat Didi, you know.
Well, if it's comfortable.
Yeah, it's comfortable, so it's almost like, you know, you can speak talk. But this song just came in my mind. I haven't sung this song in years. And I thought, God, with Marion and the way that you play and the way that you accompany, you know, because I listen to your show quite often. I really love your show. And I thought, oh, this would be a groovy thing to do with Marion. And with, there's a difference I find also between the sensibilities of a female musician and a male musician.
Oh, and now that's interesting. We could get into a whole thing with that.
Well, this is just my experience in the few times that I have had the joy of playing with female musicians.
Well, it's a whole different thing, as you say, the sensibilities of a woman player are bound to be different.
Even, for example, Terry Lynn Carrington.
Yes.
Now, Terry Lynn and I did a series of concerts together, and it was a delight for me because there was this unspoken kind of innate communion that we had.
Sure.
You know, and that, I don't know, even the body language and everything, and it's wonderful. I mean, in my dream, in a dream that Terry and I have had, and we've been stumped, and I think we should just go on and do it with the musicians that I want to do an album with Terry Lynn and Jerry Allen and myself.
That just has to be great. And there's more to come with Didi Bridgewater. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. I'm just dying to do another song of any kind. What have you got in your mind that would be good?
Well, for us? You know, I thought, you know, I always like to do a kind of bossa nova when I perform. And that comes from my years with Thad Jones.
You mean like change of pace?
Yes, well, because he told me, he called me Runyon. He says, Runyon, when you do your shows, you come out with something really hard-hitting and fast. It's really going to get the audience. Then you come down a little bit and you do something swinging. Then you do a bossa nova, something, you know, kind of romantic, and then you do a ballad, and then you go all over again. You do it all over again.
Well, that's pacing a show, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
And he really knew how
he,
to do that.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Oh, I love that man.
Yeah, you and me both. So I used to do this with Thad. I used to do this tune that I'd like us to do. It's called How Insensitive.
Oh, great tune.
And I used to do it when we would, you know, do, not with the band, but when I would just go and do little one-off gigs with him.
Well, let's us do it.
Yeah, let's.
Okay.
Okay.
What can you do when a love affair is over.
Doesn't he have the most beautiful tunes?
Oh, amazing
Shobim,
songs.
And then the lyric, and then it has to have somebody that really knows how to interpret that kind of a lyric.
You know, I don't know. A lot of Jobim's songs, well, a lot of his songs, but a lot of songs in general that fall under our standards, I feel are treated so lightly. I feel that singers just kind of skim the surface and they don't really deal with the text. And then there's a whole subtext. I mean, if you want to talk about, this is a relationship that has ended, and obviously the person who's singing it is the one who's ended it, and in a cold fashion. But for me, it means that she didn't know how else to do it but just to cut it, because otherwise it she wouldn't have been able to walk out of this relationship. This is how I view it. And so I think that if singers would put more of a whole story to a song, they would interpret the songs better.
Well, maybe some of them are thinking about, like, how they sound.
Yeah.
Or me, or, you know.
Yeah, yeah, there is a lot of that goes on, and I think that's unfortunate. And I think that if you worry less about me and how I sound, and if you are more genuine in the interpretation, then that's what's going to get that song across, not having perfect pitch. Lord knows today I'm not in the best of voices because I've just finished a like 6-week tour. And my voice generally just goes away the day after the
last
gig.
Your voice has not gone away,
well,
girl.
I mean, but, you know, I hear it's not like crystal clear. But the point being that it doesn't matter, and you won't hear what might be wrong with a voice if the intent is there and if you are feeling what the story is that's being told. You forget about everything else.
That's true.
You know, and I think that is something that a lot of young singers really don't know. And here's a song that has always irked me when I've heard it sung, is Love for Sale.
Love
for
Sale.
Because Love for Sale is talking about prostitution.
Yes.
I got love for sale. And it's always been sung really cute. Love for sale, appetizing young love for sale. You know, so when I decided to do it, I said, I'm going to do it. And we're going to talk about it the way it really, I mean, we're going to deal with the subject matter here. And so I did a real kind of sexy, oozy coming on because I'm out there and I'm trying to sell this. I'm selling my wares, you know. And people, when they heard it, they were like, oh, my goodness, how could you do it like that? And I said, because that's what the song is about. I mean, so let's really deal with this. And I also feel that it would be good for singers, male or female, to take some acting lessons. I think it is invaluable.
I was just going to ask you whether you did any teaching, like voice or acting, or to show some of these people.
I have done some workshops, and I suspect that probably in about 5 years, I will be ready to actually, you know, stop on the road, you know, stop being on the road so much. And I would like to work with these young people, even musicians.
You have so much experience in so many fields.
Yeah.
Like, you've been on Broadway. You've won awards for stage shows in England, all over the place. You know it all, not just singing, just acting.
Well, you
the
know,
whole
the
nine yards.
I think the thing, Mary, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think also you learn a lot from just experiences. And I've been very fortunate to be in all kinds of varied experiences. I have done opera. I have worked with the biggest of divas, you know. I mean, and I did pop music. I did soul music, you know. I've been asked to do, you know, vocals on rappers' albums.
I was just
going to ask you. You know what I mean?
Not bad.
And I'm open to all music. I mean, I feel like, you know, there's a phrase that I put on my latest CD, which is about the music of Kurt Vile. And he said, there's no such thing as serious music or light music. There's only good music and bad music.
That's what Duke said too, didn't he?
You know, I mean, and that's how I feel. You can do whatever it is you do, as long as it's good. If you do it and it's done with conviction, I can go for it. I really can.
Yes. Well, there's more to come with Dee Dee Bridgewater. Our program is made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano Company. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Doing one for you.
You do?
Yes.
Can I ask you a song?
You can.
Ooh,
This
is Stump Marian McPartland. Let us see. I have been wanting to hear this particular song. It's a Duke Ellington song because I think with everything that's going on today, we need to hear more songs like this. The song is called Come Sunday. Do you know it?
Oh, sure.
Would you play it?
Yes. Love to.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. Thank you.
It's such a great song. When I think of him writing that kind of a tune and then the one we did earlier, Beginning to See the Light, I mean, he could take any emotion, any style of tune, any tempo.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he really was a genius. I'm just so glad I got to know him, as you probably did.
I never personally met him.
You didn't?
No. I just, I did have the opportunity to see him in performance in Grand Central Park. And just saw him come out, you know, and go on the stage. I knew Mercer, you know, but I never really knew him. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter.
You know his
There's
music.
Some people that I don't, you know, I don't feel like you need to meet, because the music and their legacy is so rich that I like having my image of the man.
I guess the fact that I spent so much time at a club where he used to come in and eat and listen to the trio. I mean, I was lucky. He would listen to the trio, and once in a while he would even sit in.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, there's more to come with Dee Dee Bridgewater. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina Educational Radio. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. You know, I read somewhere, Dee Dee, that your father was a trumpet teacher?
Yes, and player.
Taught all kinds of terrific people?
Yes.
Well, what was his name?
Well, he's still alive, and his name is Matthew Garrett. And he taught musicians such as Harold Mayburn, Frank Strozier, Booker Little.
He must have been
Phineas
a hell of a player.
Newborn.
My goodness.
These were all his students. They were all
Is he still doing that?
He doesn't teach music anymore, and he put down the trumpet. And now he's retired, and he loves playing golf, as many retired people do.
What can we dedicate to him?
Oh, to my daddy? Oh, let's dedicate September Song, because
okay.
The days dwindle down to a precious few.
I love that song. Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
All right.
Oh, it's a long, long while from May to December, and the days grow short when you reach September, when the autumn turns the leaves to flame. One hasn't got time for the maiden game, but the days dwindle down to a precious few. September, November, and these few precious days I'll spend with you. These precious days I'll spend with you. dwindle down to a precious few. September, November, and these few precious days I'll spend with you. These precious days I'll spend with you.
You know, that is really one of the most poignant songs.
I agree.
I hope your father liked it.
I hope so. I'll have to let him know, you know, so he will listen to it, because it's rare that I dedicate to my father.
Well, it was really nice, and don't forget your D flat. We're in F sharp.
We did it in F sharp, I think was a totally cool key.
Well, it is, but unfortunately, people don't want to play in that key. But it's got such a good feeling. But I'm trying to think of tunes that I want to hear from your record.
Ah,
and there's one that's so beautiful.
Really?
My Ship. Can we do that?
I love My Ship. And yes, we can.
But you know what I'm thinking? This woman, you, go all the way from a 35 or 36-piece orchestra down to doing this thing with me. It's quite a responsibility. I'm trying to think of how I can make it sound okay.
Oh, Marian, any way you play, and I mean that in all sincerity, it sounds wonderful. And what I love with you is that I can pick up your sensitivity, and it creates, I think we've had some beautiful moments
here.
Yes,
we have.
So I don't even think you need to ponder, you know, competing with, you know, everything.
I really wasn't looking for compliments, but I'm just thinking from your aspect that it must be such a different thing.
I love it. I love when it's just the two of us, or sometimes when I do concerts, I will do a number, just piano and voice. And actually, My Ship, I now do in live performance with my bassist, Ira Coleman, and just the two of us, and we do it. And I love that. I love that. It's naked. It's real. It's kind of like it separates the men from the boys, because not all people are willing to do that and to bear themselves in that way. So let's get naked, Marian, shall we?
I am already.
My ship has sails that are made of silk. Her decks are trimmed with gold. And of jam and spice, there's a paradise in the My ship's aglow with a million pearls, and rubies fill each bin. The sun sits high in a sapphire sky. Oh, in my ship can wait the years till it appears one fine day, one spring. But the pearls and such, they won't mean much if I'm missing just one thing. I do not care if that day arrives. That dream need never be. If the ship I sing doesn't also bring my one true love to me, if the ship I sing doesn't also bring my one true
Don't you feel that that key is perfect, the way it worked out?
I do. I love that key. And when I started to sing that song, I decided deliberately to do it in a key that's in the upper register of my voice. And sometimes even in concert, my voice, you know, might break on a note. But to me, it goes with this woman is, she's pleading and she's waiting for this ship, this man.
The emotion of
it. Yes. So I think it lends itself. And I think it goes back to what we were talking about with keys and how a key can really change the whole color and the whole intention of a song.
So, oh, absolutely. And I know that when I play, like certain keys, you have to do an altogether different pattern. Your fingers go somewhere else. Like if you're in D flat as opposed to C, it just makes all the difference.
Yeah. Well, see, now I don't know, as I don't read music, but I know how it sounds to me when I hear, you know, different keys. And sometimes when I am going about choosing the keys, I will have my pianist play the song fully in a particular key to see if it corresponds with the emotion that I want to project with that song. So,
well, if you don't read music, how do you learn all these wonderful songs that you know?
Ears.
Yeah,
my ears.
But
I count on my ears.
Off a record or the radio? Or?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times it's a song that I've heard. I might have a vague recollection of having heard it. Or I will hear someone perform it and say, I'd like to do that, you know, from any number of sources, you know. This Kurt Weill material, most of it is, I made the selections from different artists who recorded the music. And, you know, that's how that happened.
On that record is a tune that for some reason or other it's not that well known, but it's a beautiful tune. This is new.
Yes.
I love that tune.
Yeah.
And that's something I hope you're going to...
Well, I mean, since you've put it out there.
Well, you know, we have
to... I will
to,
certainly grab on that.
Unfortunately, we have to wind things up, and getting to play these songs is such a kick for me because I don't get to do it that often.
Okay, well then, as time is running out, let's do This Is New.
Okay.
Which is, you know, the title of my CD of Kurt Weill material. And it kind of expresses how I feel at this point in my life. I wanted to do something new. I wanted to get away from all of the standards. And I discovered this man, and it's given me a whole lease, a new lease on life, this Kurt Vile. Amazing music, amazing lyrics, amazing melodies, haunting melodies.
I can't wait to hear you do it.
All right, well, let's give it a shot, shall we? My one and only Marion.
This is new. I was merely existing. This is new, and I'm living at last. Head to toe, you've got me so I'm spellbound. I don't know if I'm heaven or hellbound. This is new. Is it Venus insisting that I'm through with this shadow we pass? I am hurled up to another world where life is bliss, and this is new. This is new. I was merely existing. This is new, and I'm living at last. Head to toe, you've got me, so I'm spellbound. I don't know if I'm heaven or hellbound. This is new. Is it Venus insisting that I'm through with the shadow we passed? I am hurled up to another world where life is bliss, and this is new. This is new. This is new. This is new.
It worked out, didn't it?
It did.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marion McPartland. Today's guest has been D.D. Bridgewater. Join us each week at this time when Piano Jazz brings you outstanding artists for conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Dan Hoppler, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production coordinator David Lyon. The executive producer is Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To find out more about the artists and music selections heard on Piano Jazz, or to listen to a recent program, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks, from the Friends of Piano Jazz, NPR member stations, and NPR. The original production of this program was made possible in part by Borders Books and Music. Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and NPR contributors, which include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.